produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello and welcome to the living room. It's the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. It's the place where we have a variety of conversations, great conversations about topics that are real, topics that impact our everyday lives, and topics that will help us to remain encouraged and inspired. I believe that John 10 and 10 says that we ought to live life more abundantly, live it to the full. And that's what the living room is all about. We're talking to people who have overcome challenges, who have faced opposition, who have learned something from their journey, and they're glad to share it with you in the format of a conversation. So the living room is a place where you can eavesdrop and it's all right. So I'm looking forward to our time together today. Let me get right into our topic because this is something that I know every one of us has had to face. Our topic today is, what's holding you back? The question that we've all asked ourselves privately, many of us haven't had the courage to talk about how we may be feeling stagnant, like we're not making progress. We set goals, but it seems as though they fall by the wayside, and you're feeling like something is missing. Well, you are in the right place, because this is what we're going to talk about today. And this conversation is for anybody who feels as though they are not making the progress that they hoped. You know, I've found out that there are seasons where you can be making great progress in one area and seemingly stuck in quicksand in another area of your life. And so this is an ongoing process. I don't think you ever arrive. I think that you have to continue to work on all of the areas of your life on an ongoing basis and give yourself some grace to be able to experience failure, experience disappointments, and learn from those experiences. So, what is it that's holding you back? Well, first of all, I want to talk about the fact that you have in your mind a perception of where you should be right now, whether it is, you know, further along in your business, whether it's further along in your career, whether it's further along in your journey to become a better mom, a better wife, a better friend. You know, every one of us has some kind of benchmark, even though it might not be vocalized. It's still there. And so I want you to begin to focus in on that benchmark. And then I want you to think about where you are right now in relationship to that benchmark and the gap that exists between where you are now and where you perceive or believe you should be. That's the area called the middle ground. And that area is probably the thing that haunts us and taunts us and aggravates us, because we don't quite know why we are not able to easily close that gap. And so today, in addition to talking about what's holding you back, we're going to talk about some ways to close the gap in those areas of your life where you feel that you're not making progress. And so the first thing I want to say to you is there are some indicators that will help to clue you in to see if it is in fact true that there is something that's holding you back. And let me share a few of them with you. Your passion and your desire to do something is real, but for some reason you don't take the steps to attain those goals. Another way of looking at it is to say that you have others who see the potential in you, but you feel afraid or paralyzed to move forward, even on the advice and encouragement of others. Some of us believe that there is something or someone in specifically that's holding us back. You know, you can identify it. You can put your finger on it, that there is something very specific that's holding you back. You speak negatively or you think negatively about yourself, about your abilities, and about your goals, even though the people around you tell you how great you are, how wonderful you are, how inspiring you are, you still feel differently about yourself. And what about those of you who are waiting for the perfect moment? You feel as though things need to be lined up in a certain way. And until those things get lined up, you don't feel the confidence of moving forward. And then there are those who feel as though the fear of failure is a reason why they aren't moving forward. Maybe failure in your life traumatized you. Maybe failure in your life opened you up to ridicule and shame. Maybe failure in your life caused you to feel less about yourself. And for all of those reasons, you've decided not to move forward. And so at first glance, that sounds like something that, you know, is huge. And maybe it seems as though you're the only one who's experiencing these feelings, these emotions. But let me say this to you with great assurance. All of us has something that is holding us back. All of us has something that is not progressing the way that we would like. And we feel, you know, maybe disappointment about it, or we wish that it were different. All of us have areas in our life where, you know, We're at a place where we may even decide that it's just not possible to do. It's just not going to happen in this season. And so I can tell you, you are not alone. So when you ask people about what's holding them back, here's some of the things that they say. I don't have enough time. I've got kids and a family and they're holding me back. I don't have enough money to pursue my goals. I don't have enough help. I don't have the right background or the right qualifications or the right connections to be able to get these things done. And you know, those excuses are valid in some respects, and they hold weight for a little while until you hear that somebody else has made it and they had the same challenges, or maybe more than you had, and they still persevered and they still got it done. I don't know about you, but this time of the year, when you hear all of the wonderful stories about people who are graduating from college or who have obtained a degree or some sort of certification, or maybe they got accepted to their dream school, it makes you think, if that's on your list of things that you want to do, when you hear those stories, you begin to feel like, what's my problem? What's my issue? If they were able to do it and they had these things to contend with, Why am I constantly making excuses? Why can't I seem to get off the starting point and actually be successful at the things that I know I can do and I can do well? So I want to say to you today that maybe your issue is that you are tied up. In other words, whatever it is that's holding you back has tied your hands, has constricted you. And there are two passages of scripture that show us what happens when things are tied up. The first is Luke chapter 19. And if you'll read in your time, verses 28 through 34, it tells a story about how Jesus was on his way to the triumphant ride into Jerusalem. We call that day and celebrate that day as Palm Sunday because they laid palms down on the ground as he rode in on that day. But prior to his making his triumphant entry, he had instructions for the disciples to go and get a particular donkey. And in those passages of scripture that I referred to, he said to them, go and get this donkey. And this donkey is tied up. Untie it. And if anybody asks you about this donkey, tell them that the Lord has need of him. My, my, my. This passage gives me great joy because this donkey was an everyday service animal, one that, you know, didn't have any particular, specialty of any kind. It was a donkey and everybody had a donkey. But what was so special about this donkey is that Jesus said, I have need of him. And you and I, in our frustration sometimes, feel as though we don't have a purpose. We don't have a value sometimes. We feel as though we're not worth the value that has been invested in us. And I've got to let you know today that nothing could be further from the truth. If Jesus made the request for a donkey and that donkey wasn't made and created in the image of God, how much more would he be concerned about you and I and have need of us? The second passage of scripture is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And while I would encourage you to read the entire chapter, the passages that I want you to really focus on is verses 42 through 44. This is the story when Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. And when he was resurrected by Christ, he called him forth, which tells us that he knew, not only did he know him, but he knew exactly where he was. And when he called him forth, he called him forth from the grave. And the Bible says that Lazarus walked out from the grave after they removed the stone, but he still had the linens, the grave cloth wrapped around him and a shroud or a scarf over his face. And Jesus' instructions were to the disciples to go and loose him and let him go. Here we have an image of someone that Jesus loved, someone that Jesus was in relationship with, who was being resurrected from the dead. And here I know, and I'm sure you, when you think about this passage, know that Jesus could have resurrected him in whatever state he wanted, but he had him to be resurrected so that he would still need to be untied. The message to you and I today is that you and I have been resurrected, but there are certainly still things that have us bound. And we need the community of faith to come alongside us and untie the things that are keeping us bound and allow us to experience the liberty and the freedom that Christ always had for us. And so those two examples let us know that being tied up and being held back, it's nothing new in the gospel, but God has a way and a plan for you to be untied. And so one of the things that is holding us back, and there are a list of things that I could go down, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus in on one of them. One of the things that is holding us back is our belief system. That's right. The thing that's holding us back is the way that we think. It ends and begins with our thought life. You know, the Word of God says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that means that your thoughts are so important that they literally determine who you are. Your identity, although it is established by God from the beginning, how you think about you is what really matters, because that's what determines your identity. Another passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians tells us that we have the authority to cast down every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, meaning that there are thoughts that don't line up with what God says about us, that we are the only creation made and shaped in the image of God, that our thoughts are so challenging and so powerful that they can literally paralyze us. Did you know that your thoughts can actually be internalized to the point where they actually leave an impression on your cells such that they begin to have a memory of your feelings, your emotions, and how you feel about yourself? That is why when people have anxiety and stress and thoughts that are not pleasing of them or pleasing to God, that they can internalize those feelings in such a way that it literally can make you ill. So we know that people have ulcers and they have digestive disorders. Some people end up with cancer. Why? Because there are stressors in your life that literally register on the cellular level. So that lets us know how powerful our thoughts really are. So I want to challenge you that you need to do an audit of what you are thinking. Now, the sneaky thing about our thoughts is that we don't have to express them out loud. And so in some cases, you're the only one who knows what you really think about you. And so there are a couple of things that I call stinking thinking that hinder our ability to move forward. And I'm just going to take a moment and share a few of them with you. The first is that you inwardly think that you do not deserve to succeed. You don't believe that you are worthy. And that feeling of unworthiness is so dangerous because it begins to translate into our ability to make sound choices. You know, when you don't feel worthy, you don't make decisions that will lead to your good. You shy away from things that you inwardly desire because truthfully, you don't feel like you're worthy of having those things. You have difficulty even making decisions, making commitments because you don't feel worthy. And isn't it just so challenging when that thought life begins to bleed over into other areas of your life, like your ability to make choices for yourself about your career? Why shouldn't you go for the best? Why shouldn't you get those things that you have worked hard for? Why shouldn't you take some time to take care of yourself? Why shouldn't you take a vacation? Why? Because you don't believe that you're worthy. So you talk yourself out of the very things that you need to be doing. Listen, there is a difference between interest and commitment. Interest is something you do when you get around to it. You know, it's out of convenience. But when you are committed, your should or your could becomes a must. And so I say that when your should and your could become a must, that's when you have a commitment. And so the root of this thing of feeling unworthy is a lie. And so let me take a moment and expose this lie right now. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the beloved of God. He loves you with an everlasting love. And can I tell you this? You are worthy and you are worth it. And the very one who's trying to talk you out of feeling worthy and feeling worth it is the same one who is very threatened by your success, because we have an adversary whose job it is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he simply wants you to feel unworthy so you won't pursue your purpose, so you won't go after the things that God has ordained for you. And you won't find the fulfillment and the satisfaction of stepping into that place that he has handcrafted and customized for you. And so, yes, that's a lie. And let's deal with that lie. You know what I say about lies, don't you? If you believe the lie, then you empower the liar. And I know that you don't want to empower the liar. And so let's make sure we haven't bought into, even secretly, even privately, that we haven't bought into the lies. The next area of stinking thinking is that you want to remain comfortable. I would say it this way. You want to remain comfortable because you don't want to take a risk. You know that as long as you stay where you are, where you know what's happening next, and you have a good grasp on the trajectory of, you know, your future, then this is a comfortable place. This is a safe place. Being in this place means that you don't have to work extra hard, or you don't have to deal with the unknown. People like that who want to remain comfortable have missed out on one important principle, and that is that with risk comes reward, and that you are missing out on a greater reward because you keep playing it safe and you don't want to take a risk. And so we need to change the way we look at things, because I believe when you change the way you look at things, things that you look at will change. The third stinking thinking that I want to talk about before I go today is that you're waiting for everything to be perfect. You know you want to do this. You got it in your mind to do it, but you're just waiting for that right moment to do it. You want everything to line up. You want everything to be in order before you do it. Well, that sounds like the voice of a perfectionist. That sounds like the perfectionist who wants to be almost prideful in the fact that everything is going to be in order, and they will be able to even tell others about how they dotted every I and how they crossed every T and how their plan was laid out and it didn't have any flaws. Well, let me tell you something. There's only one who is perfect, and his name is Jesus. And because you and I will never measure up to be who he is, then that excuse, that frame of mind, that stinking thinking is always going to end up leading to stagnation, because it's never going to be perfect. Once you implement your plan, I assure you, something else is going to happen that will require you to make the necessary adjustments. But that's what successful people do, is when things get a little challenging, they are agile and they are willing to shift and adjust to make things work. But you have decided that it has to be perfect first. And that's what is holding you back. You're waiting for that perfect time and that perfect situation and that perfect circumstance. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen. And so let's just decide today that perfection lies in the hands of the one who is perfect, but that what he does ask of us is that we do our due diligence in our preparation, in our research, and that we are always willing to be perfected. Hear me now, but we are not in any way thinking that we are perfect. I think that that perfectionist mindset is rooted and grounded in pride. And we know what happens to prideful people. And so let us make sure that we are leaning and depending on God, who's the one who is in charge of everything, including the changes, including the uncertainty, because he knows everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. So we can trust and put our confidence in him. Now, I do have one more area of stinking thinking that I got to tell you before I go, and that is the fear of failure. I talked about it a little bit a few moments ago, and here's the thing about failure. A lot of people think that failure is an indication that you made some wrong decisions, and it means that you should stop or give up or abandon your efforts to get whatever it is done. And I want to suggest to you today that instead, failure is one of the best indicators that you could ever have to let you know what you need to do differently. If you never try it, then you'll never know how to be successful at it. So if you're afraid of failure, it really means you're afraid of learning. You're afraid of venturing out and making the necessary adjustments to get it right. You know, you've heard it said, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And there's a lot of truth to that. Listen, Thomas Edison failed over 1,000 times with his inventions, but the 1,001 time he was successful with the light bulb. Now, we know that he didn't do that on his own. In fact, history tells us that there was an African-American man who assisted him. But nevertheless, if he had given up, then he would never have known success. And that's what the fear of failure will do to you. It will rob you of the experience of learning so that you can be successful. I heard a powerful story about failure from one of my favorite actors, Denzel Washington. And he tells a story about how he went to college to Fordham University, was a pre-med major, and well on his way. But he, after the first semester, found out that there were courses that he couldn't even pronounce, not to mention pass or be successful at those courses. So then he changed his major. And he became a journalism major, and he thought that maybe that would do it. Then he became a pre-law major. That didn't work either. And so finally, he said the university recommended that he take some time off. So he took some time off and worked at the YMCA in his local community, and they ended the program at the Y, and part of the ending celebration was that they put on a play, and he was one of the actors in the play. And one of his colleagues came to him and said, hey, have you ever considered acting? Because you're pretty good at that. And so this time he went back to Fordham. He changed his major for the fourth and the last time to acting. And that's when he tapped into his success. Not only that, but one summer or one afternoon, I should say, he was in the hair salon that his mother owned. And while he was sitting there, he said there was an older woman who was sitting under the dryer, and he felt like she kept watching him. And every time he looked in the mirror, he could see her under the dryer and she was watching him. And finally, she just said, young man, I have a prophetic word for you. She said, you are going to travel the world speaking to countless thousands of people. And so I want you to get a piece of paper and write this down, she told him. She said, because this is a prophetic word about you. Well, now, here we are, 30, 40, 50, almost 40 years at least later, and her prophecy was correct. He, in fact, has traveled the whole world, and through his movies, he has spoken to thousands of people, not to mention the graduation commencement addresses and other types of speaking that he's done over the years. But I want to remind you that he failed. He failed several times. And so it says to you and I that we should not be afraid of failure. That failure literally is an inherent part of our success and our growth. And so today we've talked about four types of stinking thinking. We've talked about how you can feel as though you're not going to succeed. We've talked about some of the things, at least, that may be holding you back. And so your homework assignment is to begin to take inventory of some patterns that may have presented themselves in your life where you get to a place where you start to talk yourself out of opportunities, or maybe you find yourself at an impasse and you don't know what to do. Write and journal those things, because that will help you to overcome those areas where you feel stuck. Lastly, I just want you to know that you are, God is invested in your success. You are not alone. And so begin to solicit his involvement, his direction, and his guidance so that you can be everything that he made and created you to be. Hey, this is the end of our broadcast of The Living Room, but I want to hear from you. So please send me an email at destinyempower@gmail.com. That's destiny, E-M-P-O-W-E-R. @gmail.com. I want to hear from you. If you have ideas or topics that you'd like for me to cover, I'd be glad to do that. If you want to tell me about how today's show or a previous broadcast has impacted you, I want to hear from you. So just remember, in the living room, intimate conversations are life-changing, and I look forward to having my next conversation with you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.